behind the scenes. Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. And I encourage those that are joining us at home to get your Bible. Get your Bible. Amen. And turn in your Bible. You're waiting for that, weren't you? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. If you've got it, you can say amen. You got it in your Bible? That's good. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. This is the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Let's read that verse together, all together, just verse 1, and then I'll continue. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, this is Isaiah, then said I, woe is me. Isaiah says of himself, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, for I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When he saw the King, when he saw the Lord of hosts, he realized, woe is me. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, or your sin, is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. Everyone say those last five words. Here I am, send me. I'm going to speak on this simple title tonight. Just one word, undone. Everybody say undone. Undone. I am undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that we've felt in this place tonight, today, as we've prayed, as we've worshiped you, as we've gathered together. Your presence has been in our midst, and we thank you for that. And right now, we prepare our hearts to receive what you're going to speak to us through your word. Lord, help our hearts to be soft to receive the seed of your word. Help our ears to be open, oh God, not just to have a theological understanding, oh God, but that, Lord, we would hear what you're speaking to us. And for our situation and for our lives right now, give us a rhema word, a now word, a timely word that we can apply to our lives, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. I must be tired because I keep thinking it's tonight, don't I? It's today. Praise God. Woe is me, Isaiah said after he got into the presence of God. He said, woe is me. For I am, what is the title of our message today? I am undone. Written by Isaiah, one of the most inspired prophets in the Word of God. Isaiah lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. He was a prophet. Although he lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Isaiah prophesied the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would come to salvage. Everyone say salvage. I love that word salvage. He came to salvage. He came to save mankind from our sin. And Isaiah prophesied that. And yes, he salvaged us, because before we had Jesus, we were lost in our sin. And Isaiah prophesied the birth of Jesus. In fact, Isaiah spoke of Jesus. He prophesied of Jesus like he was there. It was like Isaiah was seeing everything unfold right before his eyes. He said it would be a virgin who would bring forth a son. He said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah told us that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know those well. But Isaiah also prophesied the intricacies of Jesus. He said that he would have a Galilean ministry. He said, even with his crucifixion, that he would be spat upon. He prophesied that they would strike him. He prophesied in Isaiah 52 of Jesus that Jesus would be disfigured from the suffering that he would have to go through. He prophesied that even that Jesus would die with transgressors, speaking of the two thieves that were on the left and the right. He also prophesied in Isaiah 53 that Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb. He described it with such great detail. He even described the crucifixion like this. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You see, Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a powerful prophet. He was prophesying everything that would happen to the Savior. Not only the birth of Jesus Christ, but all of the events that would happen. I believe that like John, who had the revelation and wrote the book of John, that just like John, Isaiah saw everything that he wrote. Now, in the book of Isaiah, if you care to read, especially the first couple of chapters, and I encourage you to do that. But in the book of Isaiah, you will see what appears to be a very clear delineation. There seems to be a clear line in his ministry where Isaiah was operating as a normal prophet, and then he begins to operate under the deepest depths of God's inspiration. There's a transition. And if you look at the first five chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah is prophesying concerning the sin of Israel. He is saying, woe is them, woe is them. He speaks in those first five chapters. He speaks of Israel's sin of idolatry. He speaks of the sins of greed. And he says of Israel, he says, woe is them. He speaks of the sins of Sodom. And Isaiah says, woe is them. And so if you read the first five chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking out and prophesying against the sin of Israel. And he says, woe, 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 woe is them. Woe to the greedy, woe to the partiers, woe to the mockers, woe to the perverted, woe to the self-conceited, woe to the lawless. The first five chapters are Isaiah speaking a woe. Woe is them over Israel. But something happened between chapter 5 and chapter 7. And you need to read it for yourself. Read it and see what happened, because now the first five chapters is woe is them. But then in chapter 6, it becomes a woe is me. He not only saw the sins of Israel, but now Isaiah can see his own sins. He can see the fact that he is undone. And his response, and in that transition, that line, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinful person. Woe is me. It was not only the wicked of Judah who he had been preaching, but now he is preaching to himself. He himself, like Israel, Isaiah also realized, I'm in trouble with God. Woe is me. And so students of the Bible have called this sixth chapter of Isaiah, they've called it the transforming vision. And all of us can probably point to a time when we had a transformation in our lives, when we had a transformation in the way that we looked at things and the way we saw ourselves. And Isaiah had that transformation from seeing everything that was wrong with everyone else, from seeing everything that was wrong with everyone else. Now he realizes that I too fall short. A prophet of God, a preacher, a man of God, not only can I see those others that fall short, but woe is me, for I am undone. Everyone say undone. The transforming vision from seeing the problem, in fact, of others, he saw the problem in himself. From seeing the problem, now he sees the solution. Now, the important thing about this message today is to realize when this change happened. When it happened. When the time of the transformation happened. And at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 6, it says these words. Can you read Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1? What does it say? In the year, let's read it out together. In the year that King Uzziah died. This transformation happened in the year that King Uzziah died. There must be something about the death of Uzziah that made Isaiah get into the presence of God and enabled him to have this vision. It happened in the year that Uzziah died. What is it about Uzziah? Who was Uzziah? What did Uzziah do? You see, we must understand something to really understand what happens in Isaiah 6. We must understand some things about Uzziah. Now, in 2 Chronicles 26, you don't have to turn there, you can read it later. But it tells us that Uzziah was 16 years old when he came and took the throne. King Uzziah, 16 years old. We don't trust a 16-year-old to get out of bed, let alone sit on a throne. We should be able to. But it tells us that Uzziah was 16 years old when he took the throne, and he went on to reign in Jerusalem. Uzziah reigned for 52 years. Uzziah was a brilliant man. He built towers in Jerusalem. He built towers even in the desert. He expanded the vision of Jerusalem. He did amazing things. He had lots of troops. He had military. He had smart men that were creating machinery and technology. And all of these things that Uzziah was leading would put Israel at the forefront of technology for their day. They would rise to prominence under their leader, Uzziah. He had very inventive people. They were at the cutting edge. And the Bible says of Uzziah that he was helped by God. Everyone say Uzziah was helped. Not Isaiah, Uzziah was helped. He was helped by God. Uzziah was inspired by God. And under his leadership, as God helped him, as God inspired him, the nation of Israel rose to heights of political, financial, military power. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, you can read it. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That was Uzziah. What a powerful man. And it says in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Let me tell you, I could stop there and just preach a little while, I think. As long as you seek God, God will hear your prayers. God can make you prosper if you seek him. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so it says of Uzziah that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. But then the chapter 2 Chronicles 26 goes on. I believe it's going to be on the screen. 26 verse 15 and 16. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Wow. Invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread abroad, his fame, his name. Everybody knew about Uzziah. Why? Because God was using him. God was inspiring him. His name was spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. He was marvelously helped. What does the next bit say? Till he was strong. Ooh. Until he was strong. God helped him marvelously until he was strong. I wonder what happened when Uzziah realized how good he was. When he began to think how good he was. When he realized how strong he was and how his name was well known. Look at this. But when he was strong, verse 16, it will be on the screen. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Pride began to creep in when he felt strong. It says this, and he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so God helped him until he got strong. And when he began to get strong, he got proud. And he thought, you know what? I can do this on my own. And his heart was lifted up in pride. And the Bible says his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I'm reminded of a scripture that says, I believe it's in Proverbs, that pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. He began to think that he was doing everything on his own without God. Remember, he was marvelously helped by God, but he forgot God. He forgot his helper. He forgot the one that was inspiring him and enabling him. He began to think that he was something. He began to think that on my own, I can do this. I don't need God. And then the Bible says he went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That's significant because it was an act clearly forbidden by the law. He wasn't able to do that. He decided that I will go myself into the temple and I'll take my own incense and I'll walk by myself to the altar of incense and I will offer incense. His pride had got a hold of him. He had known success for so long that his heart became lifted up in pride. He had reached a place where he assumed that he could do nothing wrong in the eyes of God. I'm all good, God, don't worry. I'm all good, I can do it on my own. And in an act of defiance, he goes, takes the incense and burns incense on the altar of incense. And look what happens in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 19. 80 priests of the Lord went in after Uzziah. When he went in there to put the incense on the altar of incense, they went in after him. 80 priests. Everyone say 80. 80 priests tried to stop him. They went in when he was in there. They said, what are you doing in here, Uzziah? Have you lost your mind? Hadn't necessarily lost his mind, but pride was destroying his life. And 2 Chronicles 26 verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth, and he had the censer in his hand to burn incense. The 80 priests are telling him, get out, what are you doing? And while he was wroth with the priests, look at this, while he was angry at them who were trying to correct him, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead, because the priests before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. God smote him with leprosy right there in the temple. He was defying God. His pride had taken him so far off track that there he is doing his own thing, worshiping God his own way, breaking the Lord. And the 81 priests looked at each other. And you know what the Bible says? It says they grabbed him and they threw him out. Woo. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 20 and 21. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they threw him out of the temple. Himself hasted to go out. Yea, himself hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah, the king, verse 21 says, was a leper unto the day of his death. And he dwelt in a several house. That means he dwelt in a leper's house. He dwelt in a leper's commune until the day that he died because he was a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. You see, Uzziah was helped by God. God helped him along every step of the way. He was marvelously helped. God was his strength. God was giving him leadership ability. God was anointing everything that he had done. But he got to the point where he said, you know what? I'm something. I see my name in lights. I see my name in the newspaper. People are respecting me. And now I've risen to a place of prominence. And you know what? It went to his head. The pride went to his head. And the Bible says, where did the leprosy hit him? It hit him in the head. Right in the middle of his forehead. Let me tell you, I've come to warn you against pride today. I've come to warn you against thinking that you can do this on your own and that somehow you are righteous in and of yourself. You are not righteous in and of yourself. We are righteous through Jesus Christ. Every single one of us needs Jesus. Every day that I walk, every day that I wake, I need Jesus. I need his strength. I need his guidance. I need his love. I need his hand on my life. You see, Uzziah died, and Isaiah realized things begin to change in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah had become a symbol, although the king, he had become a symbol of what Israel had become. Israel had made bad decisions. Israel had become proud. They had become casual in their relationship with God. They had become casual. They no longer feared God. That was Israel. And Uzziah had become a picture of what Israel had become. Uzziah became a symbol of what was wrong with the whole nation. Uzziah became a reproach. Why? Because of pride. Everybody say pride. You see, pride was the original sin by which Satan fell. Say something really kind of blunt right now, but you are most like Satan when you walk in pride. Jesus came to minister, not to be ministered to. He came to humble himself and become obedient. You are most like Jesus when you're humble. You're most like Satan when you are proud. With God, I want to tell you today, with God, according to his word, the way up is down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Submit to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. You see, it's through humility that we get wholeness. We remember the story of Naaman who had leprosy. He had to humble himself and dip in the waters of Jordan 7 times. And it was through his humility, not his pride, but through his humility he was made whole. We see in the story of Abraham that Abraham had to submit himself to go to the top of the mountain and even go to the point of almost sacrificing his son Isaac. And the Bible, and you read that story, you see that the submission of Abraham led to the provision of God. The seed falling into the ground, everyone say falling. The seed falling into the ground and dying, submission brings life. You see, the way up is down. Uzziah, pride had gone to his head and he ends up in a leper colony. He is hidden away. The king is now hidden. Nobody wanted to see him. Why? Because pride had got him. And Uzziah is a warning to us, just like he was a warning to Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I decided it was time to get into the presence of God. It was time to seek God's strength. It was time to search my heart. And Isaiah searched his heart in the year that King Uzziah died, and his whole perspective changed. He could no longer just see the sins of Israel, but now he could see his own sin. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone. The fact that you're in church today tells me that you're not prideful. Everyone say prideful. That means full of pride. But every single one of us, we might not be prideful, but we can battle with pride. We can battle with it. Every day, that nasty snake of pride can rise up and try to get a hold of us. You might not be prideful, but we're going to battle with pride, and God is going to do something in your heart today as I speak. If you would humble yourself before God, let me tell you, you can get right with God today. If you can put aside your self-righteousness, if you can put aside your pride, I want to tell you that God wants to reveal himself just like he did to Isaiah. And there is Uzziah the leper. With a veil, as the Bible said, they had to have a veil over their lips. They had to go around crying, unclean, unclean. What a fall. What a height to fall from. From a king to a leper colony to walking the streets once upon a time, calling the shots. Now only thing he's calling is unclean, unclean. From the pride of Israel to the embarrassment of Israel. Uzziah was not like David. He was not like Solomon. Here he is, shut away in a several house, in a leper's commune, in a leper's community, waiting to die. Isaiah was a prophet that saw all of this happening. He saw it all happening. Isaiah could see the sins of the people, and he said, woe is them, woe is them. But then King Uzziah died. He died. And Isaiah did some soul searching. Let me tell you, sometimes we got to get real with God and do some soul searching. Isaiah did some soul searching, and he went and sought the face of God, and it brought him to a place of reality. It brought him to a place of truth. He could now not only see the sins of others around him, but now he could see his own sin. He was in the presence of God, and he was given a revelation, as we read it, of the majesty, power and holiness and glory of God. And when he had that encounter with God, when he saw the power and the glory and the holiness of God, he became aware of his own uncleanness. Let me tell you, if you're proud today, let me tell you, you've got to get back into the presence of God and get a revelation again of the greatness and power and glory of God. Just like Isaiah became aware of his own uncleanness. He said, no, I can see others that aren't right with God, but me myself, woe is me, for I am undone. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes, how did he come to that realization? For my eyes have seen the King. I want to see the King, brothers and sisters. I want to see him high and lifted up. I want to see his glory. I want to see his majesty. I want to see his holiness. I want to be in his presence so that I can come to a realization of my true state, so that God can bring me back to reality. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, I am undone. You see, a revelation of God's holiness breaks us. Who are we to stand in pride when we see the greatness of God? Who are we to say, oh, I'm something, and then God shows up and I'm really nothing? God, you are great. You are holy. You deserve all the glory. You're powerful. And there was a transition in Isaiah's ministry. He went from being a prophet that could see what was wrong with everyone else to seeing what was in his own heart. He was undone. He said, I can see the Lord high and lifted up. Yes, high and lifted up in majesty. But first, I believe he saw Jesus high and lifted up from the earth. I believe he saw Jesus on the cross like all the other prophecies. He saw a picture of Jesus on the cross, just like John. And suddenly in the presence of the Lord, he understood, yes, all of my human righteousness is as filthy rags. There is nothing that I can do of my own accord. I am nothing. Isaiah realized that. No sacrifice that I make, no good thing that I do will ever give me the right to just stand in the presence of a holy God. I don't earn that right, but I've been given the privilege of coming into the presence of God. And church, I want to come against self-righteousness today. Don't you think so highly of yourself, because you when that day comes, you're going to be able to not know what reality is. You're not going to know where you truly stand with God. As we get into the presence of God, we say, God, I want you to search my heart. If there be any wicked way in me, I humble myself before your holiness and your greatness. Once Isaiah was humbled in the presence of the Lord, the scriptures describe an amazing thing that happens. We go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. You can turn there in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. What happened after this whole experience? Woe is me, for I am undone. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. After he came to a realization of his own shortcomings, after he realized that he was undone, after he said those words, woe is me, then his sin is taken away. If we will turn back to God, brothers and sisters, if we will turn back to God, and maybe there's somebody listening today that needs to turn to God, but if we would turn back to God, if we would turn to God, I want to tell you, just like Isaiah, mercy will come and touch you. God will forgive you. Your iniquity will be taken away. Your sin will be purged. If you can find that place of repentance, if you can shift your eyes off the sin of everybody else and say, woe is me, for I am undone. God, I forget about what else is going on around me. I know, God, that I got to be right with you. Isaiah began to hear from God after he repented, as it were. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord. Then God begins to speak to him. Isaiah, I've saved you for a reason. I've saved you for a purpose, Isaiah. I haven't just saved you to sit on a pew in a church. I haven't just saved you just to come and tick your name off a church list. But now God begins to speak to him. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah said, after he hears the voice of God, he says, well, God, here I am. Here I am, I'm undone. Woe is me, here I am, but send me, I'll go. In other words, who will go to be an ambassador to the lost? Who will go to be an ambassador of mercy? Who will go to these undeserving people? And Isaiah says, here I am, God. Here I am, I'm ready. I'll be an ambassador of mercy. Just as you have shown mercy to me, God, I want to go out and tell of your mercy to other people. And who are we to take the mercy of God just for ourselves and not tell somebody else? Who are we to find the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the abundant life in Jesus Christ from John 10, verse 10? Who are we to find all of the goodness in God and to keep it for ourselves? And the Lord says, Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, I'll go. Here I am. Send me. You see, Isaiah says, I've been looking at the king Uzziah. He's passed away. I've been looking at him. He's wicked. He was arrogant. Uzziah had everything that everybody else wanted, but he lost it all. I've been looking at King Uzziah. I was even pointing fingers. I was pointing fingers at other people's sin. But when I look at Uzziah, I realize that I am also a person of unclean lips. I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. Woe is me, for I am undone. And I want to tell you today, without Jesus, you are undone. Without Jesus, you are incomplete. Colossians 2 says, we are complete in Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in Jesus. Without Jesus, we are undone. Without Jesus, all we can say is, woe is me. And And here is where the rubber hits the road, church. Some of us have been walking with God so long that we've allowed ourselves to think that we are something. Self-righteousness. And that we don't need Jesus. But let me tell you, without Jesus, we are nothing. And every single one of us has to have that transition. Just like Isaiah had. He had to get his eyes off the sin of the people and get his eyes back on God. And it happened in the year that King Uzziah, he died. He got into the presence of God and God began to move in his life. You know why you can become self-righteous? Well, it's the same reason why Isaiah became self-righteous. Because he'd been away from the presence of God too long. He'd been away from the holiness of God too long. And sometimes, yeah, we can come to church, but are we really going into the presence of God? Are we really allowing God to move in our hearts and to speak to us? Or are we just coming to church and just sitting in church? But I want to go into the presence of God. I want to get into the presence of God and say, God, here I am. I need you to speak to me. I want your word to correct my path. I want your word to reprove me. I want your word to correct me. Now when I'm in your presence and I see your holiness and I see your glory and I see your power, oh God, how holy am I now? I am undone. You see, your self-sufficiency, when you become self-sufficient and self-righteous, the same thing can happen to you. What happened to Uzziah? He was smitten with leprosy in his head, but we can be smitten with spiritual leprosy. Our self-sufficiency can cause us to fall. We've got to get our eyes back on Jesus. Everyone say, back on Jesus. You've got to get our eyes back on Jesus so we can see ourselves just the way we are, because without Jesus, we are undone. You see, Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, God helped him to prosper. When he was strong, though, when his heart was lifted up, he became destroyed. I want to remind somebody today that our strength comes from God. And we need to keep looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on Him every day. Lord Jesus, I need you. My strength is in you. You are the only way, God. I cannot live another day without you. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah realized, from everything that he's seen, that he realized he couldn't just look on the sins of others. But woe is me, for I am undone. If the musicians could come right now as I close. We've got to be in Christ. Everyone say, in Christ. We've got to get our life in Christ. Everyone say it again, in Christ. My only hope, when we go to that great white throne judgment and every single one of us are judged, when the books are open and we are judged, my only hope as I stand before God, my only hope of being in His favor, my only hope on that day is that I am in Christ. Everyone say, in Christ. I want to ask you today, are you in Christ? You see, we are made righteous when we are in Him. We are made righteous when we are in Him. And you say, well, Pastor, all well and good, but how do I get in Christ? Well, for those that have been saved and walking with God a long time, let me tell you, you got to remain in Christ if you want to be saved. For those of you that maybe this message is completely new to you and maybe you've never been to church before and you're just kind of dipping your toe about this whole Jesus thing. Let me tell you that Jesus is coming back for His church. That everything that is happening in this world is signs of the times. And that our Savior is coming back to take His church. And there's going to come a day where the mighty God is going to judge the wicked and He's going to judge the righteous. And we want to hear Him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter. I want to make it to heaven. And the only way that I can stand before God is that if I am in Christ. Everyone say that again, in Christ. John 15 verse 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. This is Jesus speaking. He says, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I got to be in Christ. I got to be in Christ. You can never clean your hands with the filthy rags of your own righteousness. No, I've got to be in Christ. I need his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. How do old things pass away? When we get in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want a new beginning. But how do I have a new beginning? When I get in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Someone say amen. Colossians 2 verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are complete in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, thank you, Pastor. Now I know that if I want to stand before a holy judge, then I've got to be in Christ. But how, Pastor, do I get in Christ? Let's all stand. How do I get in Christ? How do I get in Christ? How can I make my life right before God? Listen, Pastor, I stand here and I realize, God, I realize, Pastor, that I'm undone. I realize that woe is me and I'm not right with God right now. I realize that. And Pastor, I know that I need to be in Christ and I stand before that great white throne judgment. How do I get in Christ? I'm glad you asked. Galatians 3 verse 27 says this. For as many of you as have been baptized. What does it say? Baptized into Christ. When you are baptized, you are baptized into Christ. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. No longer my own filthy rags of my own righteousness. No. No longer my sin, but clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, my sin washed away. Isaiah said, though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You say, well, Pastor, is this for everybody? Yes, I'm glad you asked. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, it all happened. The transformation happened in the year that King Uzziah died. He saw through the life of Uzziah the danger of pride. He saw through the life of Uzziah, who was once helped by God in such a mighty way, who then let the pride go to his head, who ended up in a leper's colony because of his pride, who died with leprosy. He saw it all. Isaiah saw it. He said, you know what? God, I'm just like Uzziah, actually. I've been writing 5 chapters and all I can see is the problems in everyone else's life. But as I stand in your presence right now, Jesus, I can see that I am undone. Can you see that tonight? Can you see that today? As you stand here in the presence of God, as you experience his move, as you experience his power, as you experience him moving in this place as we've sung. Lord, you are great. You are glorious. You are all powerful. And Lord, I am undone. In your midst, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it in my own strength. Lord, you've helped me, but Lord, don't let me turn my back on you when success starts to come. Don't let me turn my back on you when things get a little bit easy. You see, a lot of people are happy to turn to God when everything goes bad, but they forget. They forget Him when everything starts to go smoothly again. Some of us need to get back into the presence of God. Let us worship Him today. Let us search our hearts. Let's get right with God. And maybe somebody under the sound of my voice today, whether you're here today or whether you're joining us online, maybe you need to find that place of repentance and turn back to God and say, woe is me, I am undone. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ. Jesus Himself said, he that believeth and is baptized in Mark 16 shall be saved. Baptism is not just about getting a membership in a church. No, it's not about that at all. The Bible says baptism is for the remission of sins. And Galatians tells us that the way we get into Christ is through baptism. When we are baptized in His name, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. We are baptized into Christ. Let's lift our hands and let's just receive what God is speaking to us right now. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, right now we just need to search our hearts. Let Uzziah be an example for us. Let Uzziah be an example for Christians in 2020, not just Isaiah way back then. Lord, let this story of Uzziah be an example for us. Oh God, that where we see what happened through pride, through His own self-righteousness, what happened to Him. Let us be like Isaiah and search our heart. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands in surrender. Oh, I need You, Jesus. I need Your presence. Hallelujah. I want to see Your holiness. I want to see Your glory. I want to see Your power. I want to see myself the way You see me, God. Not my own righteousness, but Your righteousness. I want to be clothed with Your righteousness. I want to be in You, oh God. I want my life to be in You. I want to give my life to You, Jesus, today. Lord Jesus, I repent before You right now. If you want to repent today, you can pray this prayer. You can pray your own prayer. But I want to lead you just in a simple prayer of repentance. What is repentance? It simply means to turn around. And maybe you're here today joining us online or in this place, and you know you need to turn your life around. You need to get right with God. Maybe you don't know the words to pray. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I come before You right now. Lord God, realizing that, Lord, in and of myself, I am nothing. That I am nothing but a sinner. And Lord, so many times I have broken Your commandments. I have disobeyed Your word. And Lord God, I know that I'm not right with You. And I know, oh God, that my thoughts, the intents of my heart and my actions are not pleasing to You. I know that, God. And I felt Your call. I felt Your call. Lord, forgive me for my rebellion. Lord God, I want to turn to You right now. Lord, I realize that in You, Lord, is true life. Lord, that You are the only way that I can be saved. And Jesus, I want to be saved from my pride. I want to be saved from my foolish ways. So right now, God, I repent. I turn my life around. I no longer want to live the way that I've lived. I no longer want to do the things that I've done. I no longer want to think the way I thought, but I want to turn my life around and repent. I want to give my life to You, Jesus. I want to live for You. I know, Lord, that I'm just a baby. This is all new to me, but today I declare that I want to live for You, Jesus. I want to turn my life around and start living according to Your word. I want to start living according to Your ways. I want to know that abundant life. I want to come alive in You, Jesus. I repent of my sin. You can pray your own prayer right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if you've truly repented of your sin and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I'd love to have the opportunity to baptize you. Just if we've baptized so many people over the last couple of weeks, it would be my privilege to baptize you, as Paul said to the church in Galatia, to baptize you into Christ, that like as of Christ, you may also rise to newness of life. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord. This altar is open. Let's go into the presence of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh,
you want to come and pray at this altar, you can. You'll find a place to kneel in your seat. You might like to just sit and lean on the chair in front. But right now it's time to search our hearts.
Without you,
yes, I fall apart.
I fall apart.
You're the one, Lord.
You're the one that guides my heart.
Oh, Lord, I need you, yes.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Oh, woe is me, for I am undone. I need you. Not just today, but every hour, every day, every moment.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Lord, I need, yes,
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need,
woe is me, for I am undone.
And every hour, and I need you, and my one defense. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Lord, I come,
Lord, I come. I confess, bowing here.
Yes, Lord.
I find my lips.
And without you, without you, Lord, I've been gone far too long. You're the one.
And you're the one.
Yes, Lord.
And that guides my heart.
Oh, Lord, I need you, Lord. Yes, sing.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
I need you.
Every hour, I need you.
Grace is greater than your sin. Where sin runs deep, His grace is more. And where grace is found is where He is. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Free from sin. Free from my own pride. Where you are, I want to be in you, because that's where I am free. Holiness, true holiness, is me in Christ and Christ in me. Hallelujah. Where sin runs deep, where sin runs deep.